1. Rishabha uvacha Nayam deho deha bhajam niloke Kashtan kaman arhati vid bhujamye Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam Shutyetyasmat brahmasaukyam tvanantam Rishabha uvacha Nayam deho deha bhajam niloke Kashtan kaman arhati vid bhujamye Tapo divyam putaka yena sattvam Shutyetyasmat brahmasaukyam tvanantam Not something is missing. Can somebody correct this? Nayam deho deha bhajam niloke. So try to remember after deho there's another deha. Rishabha uvacha Lord Rishabha Deva said not ayam this deha body deha bhajam of all living entities who have accepted material bodies. Nriloke in this world kashtan troublesome kaman sense gratification arhate deserves vit bujam of stool eaters Ye, which tapaha, austerities and penances, divyam, divine, putrakaha, my dear sons, yena, by which Sattvam. The heart.
Shuddhyet.
Becomes purified. Yasmat.
From which.
Brahma Saukyam.
Spiritual happiness.
To. Certainly. Anantam.
Unending.
Translation. Lord Rishabhdev told his sons, "My dear boys, of all the living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for dogs and hogs that eat stool. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified, and when one attains this position, he attains eternal, blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever." So we have a two-page purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, Lord Rishabhdeva tells his sons about the importance of human life. The word Dehabhag refers to anyone who accepts a material body, but the living entity who is awarded the human form must act differently from animals. Animals like dogs and hogs enjoy sense gratification by eating stool. After undergoing severe hardships all day, human beings are trying to enjoy themselves at night by eating, drinking, having sex, and sleeping. At the same time, they have to properly defend themselves. However, this is not human civilization. Human life means voluntarily practicing suffering for the advancement of spiritual life. There is, of course, suffering in the lives of animals and plants, which are suffering due to their past misdeeds. However, human beings should voluntarily accept suffering in the form of austerities and penances in order to attain the divine life. After attaining the divine life, one can enjoy happiness eternally. After all, every living entity is trying to enjoy happiness, but as long as one is engaged in the material body, he has to suffer different kinds of misery. A higher sense is present in the human form. We should act according to superior advice in order to attain eternal happiness and go back to Godhead. It is significant in this verse that the government and the natural guardian, the father, should educate subordinates and raise them to Krishna consciousness. Devoid of Krishna consciousness, every living being suffers in the cycle of birth and death perpetually. To relieve them from this bondage and enable them to become blissful and happy, Bhakti Yoga should be taught. A foolish civilization neglects to teach people how to rise to the platform of Bhakti Yoga. Without Krishna consciousness, a person is no better than a hog and a dog. The instructions of Rishabhdev are very essential at the present moment. People are being educated and trained to work very hard for sense gratification, and there is no sublime aim in life. A man travels to earn his livelihood, leaving home early in the morning, catching a local train, and being packed in a compartment. He has to stand for an hour or two in order to reach his place of business. Then again he takes a bus to get to the office. At the office, he works hard from 9 to 5, then he takes 2 or 3 hours to return home. After eating, he has sex and goes to sleep. For all this hardship, his only happiness is a little sex. Yan mai tunadi gliamedi sukham hi tu cham. Rishabdev clearly states that human life is not meant for this kind of existence, which is enjoyed even by dogs and hogs. Indeed, dogs and hogs do not have to work so hard for sex. A human being should try to live in a different way and should not try to imitate dogs and hogs. The alternative is mentioned. Human life is meant for tapasya, austerity and penance. By tapasya, one gets out of the material clutches. When one is situated in Krishna consciousness, devotional service, his happiness is guaranteed eternally. By taking to bhakti yoga, devotional service, one's existence is purified. The living entity is seeking happiness life after life, but he can make a solution to all his problems simply by practicing bhakti yoga. Then he immediately becomes eligible to return home back to Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, we can chant together. Janma kama cha me divyam evam yo viti tatvataha chaktvadiham puna janma naitimam iti sorajana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Not much more to say after that purport. any questions? Perfect. Rishabha uvacha nayam deho deha bhajam niloke kashtan kamana hati vidbujam ye tappu divyam putakayena sadvam shutyetyasma brahma saukyam tvanantam. One more time the verse. Lord Rishabdev told his sons, my dear boys, of all the living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for dogs and hogs that eat stool. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified, and when one attains this position, he attains eternal, blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaudavani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashadyadi Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Yes, in this verse, as Srila Prabhupada so nicely and elaborately explained, stresses the importance of this human form of life. As we know, there are 8,400,000 species of life. And Dulabhan Manusham Janma Tat Apyadruvam Artadam, that to attain Dulabham means very difficult. not easy, not guaranteed to get this human form of life. Among all these millions of species, only 400,000 are human species. And in the morning walk, on the morning walk, Srila Prabhupada gave the additional information that among those 400,000 human species, 80% are not civilized. You remember that? They're not civilized. It's only 20% are civilized. So somehow we received, I mean more or less, a civilized human form. We got it, we received it. And not only that, but we took birth so close to Lord Krishna's appearance and Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. It only happened a few thousand years ago. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only 500, little more than 500 years ago. We are so extremely fortunate. Again, out of millions of different stages of life, we got a civilized human form. And we took birth so close to Krishna's appearance. Because he only takes a birth once in the day of Lord Brahma. Which means the next time Lord Krishna will appear, and consequently Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as well, it will take 8,640,000,000 years. It's the next time Lord Krishna will appear. 8,640,000,000 years. Long, 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 long time. Because Lord Krishna, he is known as Tri Yuga. He only appears in three yugas, not Kali Yuga. But he exceptionally takes once in the day of Lord Brahma, he appears in this world. So we are so fortunate. The teachings of Lord Krishna are still there. They're available, Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada gave us the Bhagavad Gita as it is. As we know, he himself mentioned there are more than 600 different editions of Bhagavad Gita were available. But only one Bhagavad Gita, which Srila Prabhupada published, transmitted the true understanding of the message of the Bhagavad Gita. This is Srila Prabhupada's great gift to humanity. He gave the teachings of Lord Krishna in such a way that we could actually understand. Otherwise, there's so much knowledge, mundane knowledge available in society. There are the libraries, the largest library in the world is, what is it called, the Library of Congress in the US. It's the largest library. It contains 36 million books and 158 million items. I mean journals, magazines, and so many things. 158 million items, which it will occupy approximately 1,345 kilometers of shelf. Can you imagine? So much knowledge. Then we have other, the Russian State Library, I think it's the second biggest in the world. They have 17.5 million books. And they will occupy about 275 kilometers of bookshelves. Then the British Library, 14 million books, occupies about 1,200 kilometers of bookshelves. In other words, there's so much knowledge available. But where do we find this knowledge which Lord Krishna is giving? How to conquer over birth and death, this repetition of birth and death? This they don't touch. They avoid. In one class, Srila Prabhupada, they avoid, they don't touch. because it is not easy. It is difficult, but that's the actual purpose. That's the mission of human life, to conquer over this repetition of birth and death, to come to an end of this material suffering. That we do not find in these billions and trillions of books available. We don't find that knowledge. But Krishna, he's placing that problem in front of everyone. You talk about problems, now that's the problem. What is that verse? Dukkha dosha anudarshanam, I forgot. Janma, huh? Janma, janma mrityu jara vyadi. These are the problems, these four problems. The birth, the suffering of birth, suffering of death, and then old age and disease. These are the real problems of life. And again, that's the purpose, the whole purpose of you. One very famous person, we don't have to mention names, he was being asked what his opinion is about the actual purpose of life. Just recently it happened. And he said, in my opinion, the purpose of life, very important person, purpose of life is that one who dies with the most toys, he wins. That's the purpose of life. To just be surrounded by all kinds of, you know, gadgets, lot of cars, house and properties and this and that, toys, he wins. That's the purpose of it. I mean, just see where human society is, you know, in which direction it goes. They all have forgotten what's the actual meaning of human existence. It's all forgotten. There's also one consideration what many people in modern society don't, they're not aware of it, but their, you know, view of life, view of this world, it is all influenced by previous intellectuals, thinkers and philosophers, especially Greek philosophers. The way they think, feel what, you know, life is all about, it is all being influenced. Like we can give the example of a Greek philosopher, 341 to 270 BC. Hare Krishna. Now he believed that the world is simply a random combination of atoms, and the whole purpose of life is to make arrangements to enjoy sense gratification. What happened? Huh? Some snake? Not yet. And just see, that's the general mood and, you know, feeling people have about what's life all about. Just make some arrangements to enjoy sense gratification. And then he says further that death involves neither pleasure nor pain. The only thing is that is bad for us is pain. But when you die, I mean, death, he explains, is the metaphysical implication that we no longer exist, and that we no longer have sentience when we are dead. In other words, when we die, our individual existence ceases forever, just like switching off the light of our individual existence. That's all. So death, no problem. His message to the people was that you should not, in an irrational way, be afraid of death. Because when you die, everything is finished, bus, what's the problem? You have no more feelings, you just cease to exist forever. But that doesn't solve the problem. Actually, that kind of philosophy is truly born out of darkness, the darkness of ignorance. Because Lord Krishna clearly explains in the Bhagavad Gita, jatasya hi dhruvam mitryo dhruvam janma mritasya cha. The one who takes birth surely has to die, and after death he surely has to take birth again. The death they do not know, this they don't consider. That after death, not everything is finished, but again you have to take birth. And what kind of birth? They don't know. Of course, they think, we don't mind, I can take, it's a new philosophy. Srila Prabhupada once mentioned one student, when Prabhupada talked about this point, that we have to be careful that we don't waste our human form of life and take birth again as a dog, for instance. And that student, he thought, well, what's wrong? What's wrong with being a dog? I don't see any problem. Especially here in Vrindavan, I think, you know, we all agree the dogs don't have an easy life. Or the monkeys. They don't have an easy life. So much unnecessary suffering, so much anxiety. When you watch the monkeys, especially here in Vrindavan, if you watch them a little bit, they're always in anxiety, isn't it? Looking left, looking right, who's coming? Is somebody coming? You get a little bit closer, oh, immediately they want to defend themselves, showing their teeth, ah! And then we get afraid, and they get afraid, we're afraid. That's material existence. Everybody is afraid, consciously or unconsciously, everybody is afraid. Afraid of what? Yes, death. Because Krishna clearly explains that's the problem. It doesn't solve any problem. And sometimes people who are mentally perhaps suffer too much in this world, they think, yes, the whole solution is let me die, all problems are gone. No. Especially, you know, suicide is not a solution at all. The suffering a person will experience in a subtle body after committing suicide, it is by far more intense than what he ever is able to experience in a gross body. It is not a solution. So these philosophers, they influenced for more than 2,000 years the way, you know, modern people think nowadays. And it is really about time to give actual, real knowledge. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also, he mentioned, there's no lack in this world. Everything is there, more or less. But what is really lacking is Krishna consciousness, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Who am I? Why am I in this body? What is this world? What is my relationship with the Supreme Lord? This is missing. And as explained in this verse today, if people become educated in that knowledge, and if they are, in any case, they have to practice so much austerity, like Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, every day, they have to undergo so much austerity just to go to work and return. Is it not so much work? Sometimes they don't even eat breakfast properly. While walking, you know, leaving their home, while walking, they sip some coffee or some substance quickly, you know, throw into their mouth, and then already they're gone. Then at work also, what can they eat? Again, something quick, cold. Then they return home, completely exhausted. They think, now I really deserve some sense gratification. They switch on the TV and fall asleep. And then in the morning they wake up in front of, you know, the white snow on an empty TV screen. They wake up, oh, time to go to work. This is austerity. This is penance. So Rishabdev suggests, now you do the same penance, but you do it for Krishna. Do it for the purpose of attaining real happiness, eternal happiness, which never deteriorates or reduces. It eternally, it lasts forever. Brahma Saukhyam Tvanantam. Why not do it for a purpose to attain real happiness, spiritual life? That's the point of this verse. Then we can ask the question, you know, why people are so much after sense gratification? How do we explain that? Why is everybody running so much after enjoying, trying to enjoy? The Vedanta Sutra gives the answer. Anando Maya Prasad. Because it is the nature of the living entity, being part and parcel of Krishna, to enjoy. Krishna, he is the supreme embodiment of transcendental pleasure. His own expansion, Srimati Radharani, she's the very embodiment of the Hladini Shakti, the pleasure-giving potency of the Lord. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavidhabis, that Brahma Samhita verse explains. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, the eternal spiritual happiness, that's the nature of the living entity. To assist Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundar in the Sringara Rasa eternally, that's the supreme spiritual bliss any living entity can ever experience. This, unfortunately, this Sringara Rasa often has been improperly translated. So we take Srila Prabhupada's translation. The mellow of conjugal love in the spiritual world. That's the proper translation. So this is why the living entities in this world are looking, hankering after joy, after pleasure, after ananda. They're hankering for it. But unfortunately they look in the wrong place. When I came to Krishna consciousness, I was so fascinated by Srila Prabhupada's in the path of perfection. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a cinema. This cinema. He explained that this material world, it is just like a cinema. Or you nowadays, in more modern language, we could call it virtual reality. The virtual world of the spiritual world. It is a semblance, not real, just like a movie, cinema. You watch the cinema on the screen and people become, you know, they become absorbed, emotionally involved. Sometimes they cry watching a movie, sometimes they scream in joy, they laugh. But what are they doing? They just sit in front of the white screen and the three colors are bouncing off the screen. RGB, red, blue, and green, that's all. Three colors. Now all these objects, all these forms, people, relationships in a movie, it is illusory. It exists somewhere else, but not on the screen, not in the movie theater. It's a wonderful example. Or we can give the simple example, another example of plastic fruits. Now you see a plastic banana, plastic apple, they even nowadays they put these water drops on it. It looks so real. You look at it, oh, so nice. You have that feeling of joy. But what is that feeling based on? It's illusion. It's a plastic fruit. What is missing? What is missing in that plastic fruit compared, yes, Jules, compared to a real fruit? The, you know, the organic substance which nourishes the physical body, that is missing. Like in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained, two words, vastu. Vastu means, in Sanskrit, vastu means object or substance. And vastavam. Vastavam, vastu. That's exactly the difference between a plastic fruit and a real fruit. Vastu means object, substance, and vastavam, vastu means real, eternal spiritual object, spiritual substance. And that's the problem of existence in this material world. All the material objects are vastus, vastu. The vastavam is missing. Now that, in that sense, organic substance which nourishes the soul, the spiritual living entity, that is missing. It is not there. Just like, again, you see a movie, you feel joy, you're afraid, so many emotions are happening, but they're not based on reality. Seeing a plastic fruit, you feel some joy, some happy, oh nice. But that feeling, it is again, it is not real. It is based on illusion. So all these material emotions related to material objects, vastu, and the relationships between these objects, it is all illusory. So receiving that message, an intelligent person will take the lesson from it to begin gradually to detach himself from this material world. Just like I was considering, oh yeah, there's one quotation from Shriman Albert Einstein. He once he mentioned that any fool can know, but the whole point is to understand. It's a very nice quotation. We can gather so much knowledge, we can know so many things, but to understand something, this is different. Just like a spiritual master, guru, he might have so many disciples, but sometimes he points out that disciple understood, you know, my message, what I'm trying to transmit to you, give to you. He understood. All the others, they know, they heard the same thing, but somebody understood. Understanding means you take that knowledge which you receive and you put it into practice. Then you understood. Like guru, who might, he might instruct so many disciples, and this is important, we have to do. They all know, yes, yes, exactly, yes. Nodding their heads, yeah, yeah, exactly. Very important, but too much important. But one who gets up and acts accordingly, he puts that knowledge into practice, he understood. That's the difference. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada's books, Srila Prabhupada's teachings are full of informations, knowledge of a transcendental nature. And one who puts this, takes it and puts it into practice, he moves it into the world of action, he really understood. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.